Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
The Survivor Specialist Phil and Blake are back, and today we are digging deeper into episode number 6 of Survivor 48, and we are joined by Tegwith as we sit here and dissect the merge. Tegwith, last season I had you on. Yes, that was the first time, right?
Yeah. You came on. Yeah, last season.
And then you popped up and did Survivor Rewind with John and McKenna earlier. Now you get to move and see what it's like to do a podcast with Blake. So good luck to you and to everybody out there in the comments who's sitting here and like, wow, Blake and Tegwith at the same time. Let's see what happens here.
Oh, I never thought we'd be in these lucky days. You know, the whole world is finally flourishing.
Well, I know.
Thank you so much for joining again. And good timing on this one, I feel like, to do the merge episode, which is... I don't know. I'm curious what your take is on the merge, because it's been kind of hit or miss for people on the interwebs here. So what do you got, Tegwith?
Well, you know, was it the craziest episode? No. But I think every season needs a couple of straightforward episodes, or else I think we would lose the excitement of it all, of the crazy blindsides. I mean, at least for the viewers. But I think that, you know, all things considered, I was pretty happy with the episode. It wasn't a 100% straightforward vote because it was, you know, split. And I think we got some interesting moments. So was it the best episode of the season? Probably not. But I thought it was still a pretty good merge. And I'm very happy that it's basically a real merge. And I like that. I like that it's basically a real merge. I don't love the mergatory, you know?
Yeah, you're so alone in that, I swear. No, I mean, that's like every single person has been... screaming that since what, season 42, season 41? Yeah, we didn't really know what we were looking at.
Mergatory is derived from the word purgatory, which people have been having issues with for thousands of years.
So yeah, that's true.
If you want to take it all the way back.
Famously fun place. Yeah. Famously fun place, purgatory.
Famously trying to avoid that at all costs. But as we sit here and we talk about this, I think what I finally came to the conclusion of after now having, you know, close to 24 hours to think about it, it's not that I dislike the episode. Like, I agree with you, Tegwith. I think there needs to be straightforward episodes in a season because that helps build what you're watching. But I think for me, what it was Charity going home here is probably the least shocking merge boot that we've had in like years and years and years and years. And I know Rome, people would argue that it's like Rome looked like he might've had the potential to go deep last season. He just never really looks like he had the potential to win, but Charity has just been getting drugged through the mud for the last 6 weeks. And then it all culminates with Charity goes to her first tribal council and goes home. It just really wasn't all that exciting from that standpoint. I'm fine if Charity's the solution here, but it felt like Charity was always going to be this boot since the first episode of the season.
Yeah, I think at one point I was even talking to somebody like an episode two being like, yeah, I think she's getting like a merge boot edit. And I feel like you shouldn't be able to like see that so far in advance, because you should be getting a compelling storyline from each and every person. And I don't think there was a single person that I talked to that didn't predict Charity was going to go home this episode. Like in my Survivor league things, I was like, yeah, 10 points Charity. Can I do more than that? Like I could not be more certain that it was her, and it was straightforward. Whereas like the Rome boot, while in the episode, it was like, yeah, you know, it is 100% Rome. He was getting an interesting enough edit that up until that, his like merge boot, I wasn't certain that it was going to be him. maybe had some clues, but I didn't have like, I literally was like, I don't think I can be 100% certain because I don't know. So I'm going to say I'm 99.99% certain it's charity.
Yeah. And it's plus
people weren't going to vote out Rome until he got to sit in Jeff Probst's chair. And they realized if we do take him to the finals, he will be the host of 48 retroactively or whatever. And they did not want Rome to have that legacy.
I think that, so you know how like we always used to sit here and say, oh, winners are getting too obvious. And then I feel like Rachel was, you know, not hidden, but was, it was a good edit for Rachel, good edit for Kenzie, good edit. D was a little obvious, but that was just more because of how season 45 went. Jam Jam and Carson, there was a serious conversation about which one of them was potentially going to win. Gabler was so hidden. And I think that they've done a better job now of like, when you watch David versus Goliath, no matter how much you want to pretend, it doesn't look like Nick is going to win that whole season from final 10 on. It's pretty obvious Nick is going to win that season from final 10 on. So they've gotten better with the winner. And I feel like this merge-ish, whatever you want to call it, Buddha, has become very predictable because this is where we had Rome last season. It's where we had Mariah slash Tim. Mariah went before actually making it to the merge. She was the one who went before it was, you know, a tribe. Jay Maya was the one before that. And then you go, Josh was the one before that. Ellie was the one before that. Ellie had a pretty solid edit, but that's because she was the number one adversary for the eventual winner of that season. If you look at who this person has been, it has been the person with the worst edit in the pre-merge every time for the last four or five seasons.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I will say, I think when Jay Maya's edit, I don't blame that on her going out at this point. I blame her edit specifically on the fact that it was a like a solid shot in the dark hit. And I really think that the editors want us to be happy that a shot in the dark hits versus us being sad that somebody's going home. So I feel the same way about Justin. I think that I feel like with her, it was a kind of a double whammy, but I really think that when the shot in the dark hits, the editors want to be like, okay, you want to be happy it hits, not sad somebody's going to fall victim to the shot in the dark. So I would say that like a little bit, it could be because it was a shot in the dark and Caleb technically was that merge boot, but you know, he wasn't.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a good point. It's always the person who gets screwed that kind of gets left out of the edit. We've seen that a lot in the new era because I don't want you to get too attached and heartbroken. Blake, what do you got?
Yeah,
I think there's some thought though too of like, why wouldn't we show Jay Maya being like, Jay Maya is the Jay mastermind and she was gonna really take over for everyone on there, and even though there was that group of four, she would be super strong and like getting got by like, I guess she wasn't a mastermind because she didn't get idled, she was revoted out. So that makes more sense. But I think I'm wanting one of these episodes in the future, if this does happen in 49 or 50, of like, let's have a mastermind go home at like 12 or 11 from straight up like a twist in the game and not like, oh, we have to under edit them. Let's have them be a front runner and go at 12 or 11. Like, I don't think we've seen that in years now.
Yeah.
And I think and that I think, we were robbed of that last season with Caroline. Because Caroline, you talk to any player from 47, any player who makes it past the merge, and they're like, Caroline was running everything. Caroline was playing this amazing game. And she was, I think she was also criminally underedited because of she was the victim of Operation Italy. And again, I felt like they wanted us to be happy Operation Italy worked rather than us being sad that Caroline went home. But I think that would have been amazing. Like, that would have showed that the move would have been even better because... It wasn't, Rachel ended up being Caroline. I think the edit could be great. And I think that maybe Charity, you know, she, you know, we were robbed of, it's again, one tribe dominating and not going to tribal council. Her first tribal council, she gets voted out, but she had connections, she had moves. And I would have liked to seen a little bit more of that up until that, like, we only really saw it this episode. And then other than that, we saw like her feet and like her talking to Mitch once or twice. I don't know. It just felt like, you know, it just felt too obvious.
Yeah. And I'm going back through the seasons right now to kind of like confirm what we're all saying right now. I think the last person to make a merge, air quotes, I'm calling it a merge because I just don't have time for this. So the last person to make a merge and get a really good edit, but be the first person voted out who doesn't make the jury was Jessica Noble. Johnston.
No,
Chris Noble made the jury. It was Jessica Johnston. She was the last one because in season 35, She was getting a phenomenal edit early on. It looked like Cole was dragging her down and she was going to beat Cole. And I remember when she gets booted in that episode, like, you can probably go watch Alexa and I be absolutely floored that it's Jessica who gets booted. It also sucks because it's right after Allie, who was my winner pick for that season. So I was feeling good. But that might be the last time we saw it. And a lot of people were frustrated by that edit. And people were like, but we love Jessica. Why is that? Why did that happen? That might be the last time it happened. So
I don't know. I feel like I like being blindsided sometimes as a viewer. Like, I like being like, you know, I can't believe that happened. I can't believe, like, I was kind of blindsided with the Justin vote because I really thought he was getting a Genevieve edit where he was going to like not be heard from for like the first couple of episodes. And then he would go on to play this like incredible mastermind game and then get robbed at the end. And so when it ended up being Justin, obviously it was a slow build because it wasn't like a crazy blindside. But that whole episode, I was like, wow, I'm kind of shocked that it ended up being him. But I think as a viewer, and also Bianca, like as a viewer, it's sometimes fun to be on the outside and be like, I like being on the inside sometimes, but sometimes I also like to be in the player's shoes in some small shape or form. That's why I love when the editors play with flashbacks, because I think it's like, oh, wow, there's a lot of information. And when you're playing the game, you don't really have all the information. And I like it that sometimes as a viewer, you also don't have all that information. I think it's a nice little, you know, playing with it, keeping me on my toes. I like.
And I was totally content with how they did the whole situation with Bianca getting voted out. And then the next episode starts with Cedric having to play damage control. And so us as an audience, we're almost in the shoes of Say saying, how did this happen? And why are you lying to me again? For a whole week, we're sitting there wondering that. And they start the next episode and it's the repercussions and Cedric saying, no, she literally told me minutes before. And the only one I could get in touch with was Chrissy. So I told her to do it so that it would just happen. Now, whether that's 100% true or not, we don't really know, but I kind of like that the editors are kind of using every episode rather than like having to make it so serialized, right? Like, we don't need Survivor to be CSI where it's your case of the week and it gets wrapped up and the characters barely develop and then you move on. It's fine to have, this is what took place in one episode. The next episode starts off and we get the rest of the story, because that also leads to people having conversations about the episodes in a way that you want if you're the producers of the show.
And I think what's funny is we talk a lot. We have hours and hours of podcasting, and we do get very contradictory sometimes. I think there's the opposite of this, of whenever it was like we started an episode and then sometime in the first 20 minutes, it was like 4 days ago on the Green Tribe. And everyone was like, I don't know about that. Because like even the people that were on the show were like, I can't believe they didn't show her getting the idol. And then it's like, well, that wasn't narrative. Like, we didn't want to do that until episode 5. But everybody that was on the island was like, I know that happened on day 9. This doesn't make any sense. And like, I think all of us were like, that's interesting. But I kind of, we had a whole round of asking the person as they got eliminated, like, why didn't they show this? Or did you know this? And everyone's like, well, we did. Well, they just didn't show it. So we weren't allowed to talk about it yet. Is a weird place to put your audience interacting with the show so much like we do for Survivor, of like when you do those nonlinear narrative strategies, it is kind of like putting your audience in like a bind when it comes to their greater encouragement in the show. I feel like
we're just not used to it as Survivor fans. I think that's really what it comes down to. For 40 whatever seasons it is, we're used to everything being told in a very linear fashion, and that's just not what reality TV or Survivor has really ever done. I'm fine with it. I mean, maybe it's because like I like scripted more than reality. Like, I don't really watch reality TV except for what I podcast here, but I'd rather watch scripted. And I like when you get flashbacks and unique storytelling and editing styles and things like that. I thought Operation Italy was great with that. And so far I'm enjoying what they're doing this season, where we are not getting all the info. We're being left in the dark, but then they're concluding the story. Because I think the other thing that Survivor really did poorly, if we're talking about the 35, 36, 37 era, it's like Bradley Kwai, he gets voted off right before the merge in Ghost Island. And him and Kellen have been shown to be 1A and 1B. And the next episode, the first confessional from Kellen is like, I made the merge. I'm so excited. It's like nothing about literally the first 7 episodes of the show you and your best buddy and how your best buddy's gone. So
well, when you meet Bradley in person, you start to understand.
Bradley's hanging out with me on Saturday. Like
closing one door, open up another one without Bradley's new beginnings, I guess.
But all right, so I want to talk about this. I want to talk about like the merge thing here, if we can move past, or unless there's anything else that we want to talk about here. I want this, by the way, this text has zero commas for anybody who's wondering. This is from Blake earlier. Let's have the topic just be putting the mergatory, earn the merge, merge beach, but not merge to bed. Finally, there are zero commas, zero period, zero capitals, nothing. That is one sentence. I don't know where I'm supposed to go with this, but then he says, do some pros and cons of it. And I think this is actually a really good idea because as a community,
then we sent a picture of maple waffle flavored milk from Eggo.
You did.
I saw that in the wild yesterday, not realizing milk was going to be another huge topic, but I didn't buy it because I've done strawberry milk, I've done banana milk, I've done chocolate milk, I've done
this is the other thing Blake said,
that are,
in case anybody
yes,
gets it. This was the picture after the egg milk picture.
I've done the milk with Twix in it, Snickers.
Yes, I can.
Cookies and cream milk, but I was like maple waffle milk, maple syrup waffle mix is crazy for milk.
Well, anyway,
yeah, anything is crazy for milk. Sorry, I'm not a milk fan. I'm anti milk.
Tegwith really wanted to talk milk, so maybe we talk milk before we talk about the merch stuff. Tegwith, give me your thoughts on grown men drinking a gallon of milk a day.
I actually cannot fathom. I mean, they talked about on the show, how much fridge space does one need to have? And I know that Joe lives around the corner from the store. Does that store have to order more milk because they know that Joe lives near them because he's coming in every other day to buy 2 gallons of milk just for him? He has a family. I'm guessing he wants his kids to also drink milk. I'm guessing this family goes through 2 gallons of milk a day. I think that's criminal. I love Joe. I love Joe.
The store
really has a straw
in it ready for him to go.
like they have the store has a whole refrigerator that just says property of Joe. If anybody looks at this, you have to leave immediately. You're going to be escorted from these premises. Like, honestly, is Survivor getting paid by Big Milk? Is it the 90s again? Is this like, it was there a Got Milk commercial after the show? And I honestly thought you would die if you drank a gallon of milk. I thought that was like a thing.
I did it in 1 hour once, and it was the worst pain I've felt besides.
You're not supposed to do that. Like the 15-minute challenge and stuff, you're not supposed to do that. But that's the same thing. Like try to eat 5 saltine crackers in a minute. You can't do it, but try to eat 5 saltine crackers in like 2 minutes and it's easy. That's kind of how it is with, I think, a gallon of milk. I do think you have to build your body up to this, right? I don't think this is kind of like, you know, the first time you go out drinking, you don't just drink 15 beers. You got to start with like 2 or 3 and then work your way up to 15 beers. So I think that, which I guess maybe that's like a bad sign for me if I'm saying, don't worry, buddy, you'll work up to 15 one day, get on my level. But here we are. I agree with you. Look, I find milk, and I'm not vegan. I'm not vegetarian. I eat meat. I will eat anything. I eat things with milk in it. I'm not like somebody who's going anti-dairy. I find milk in a glass to be like one of the most disgusting things in the world. I used to drink it all the time as a kid. And like, here's the thing for me. One time in college, we did not use it. We did not drink it, but we unknowingly had spoiled milk in the fridge. And it was like a total fraud thing of like, we had bought it the day before. Oh, that's amazing.
Let me find the Australia one too.
So Blake has just put a picture up of Kelly, Rudy, Hatch, and Sue holding a jar of milk that says Got Milk underneath them. I forgot about this too.
Oh, I forgot about this.
The last thing I'll say before Blake finds Australia is once you smell spoiled milk, like I don't really need to drink milk on my own. I'm good.
No. That's it. Yeah. I am vegetarian. But okay. I grew up a vegetarian. I am like Justin in that sense. But it's like I love cheese. I love egg. Like I eat dairy and eggs, right? But there is just something. Like when I started dating my boyfriend, I've been dating with him for 7 years. When I saw him eat cookies for the first time, he would pour a cup of milk for himself, and he only ever has milk with cookies, which is normal. That's a normal thing. I was like, I've never seen that much milk other than in a jug before in my life. It was a full glass of milk. I can't, and I know that there are people who love milk. I posted a video about my dislike of all of the milk. And everyone was like, you know what? I'm sick of being pushed into a corner. I'm going to say it. I like milk. You know, good for you. I'm so proud of you guys. That's not
That's Tina Wesson in the middle?
That's Tina Wesson in the middle.
Would they shave her jawline?
That's Keith on the left. That's the final Keith? Three. Yeah.
That looks like they shaved Tina's jaw, dude. Come on.
That's crazy. That's so funny. Commercials work. Where are they? What's the point of this?
This is the Australia Outback. And final challenge was drinking milk and busting out of the floor.
Yeah, Fender said the same thing. It really does. It looks like Mad Max. It really does.
It looks like Mad Max. That's insane. Anyway.
So that's a new thing we're going to be using is showing pictures every once in a while. Sorry for all the audio people.
Maybe we'll be able to get David and Joe to do their own Got Milk ad after all of this. And they can, you know, I don't know, are there milk magazines that can be like the
there are milk magazines, but I don't know. Come on.
Blake, remove those screenshots here, man. Get them out of here so that I can see things again.
They're gone. They're gone, right?
I know. How do you? Oh, there you go. You're doing it. Okay. So this is the milk stuff that is going on right now in the season. Tagwith, I don't know you that well, and I'm not going to repeat what Mary said, but did you see Mary's tweet today?
Yes.
Of what she wakes up and has a whole of not that 2% shit.
Yeah. I just want to say, if you're not following Mary on Instagram or on Twitter, you got to do one or the other. She is the best follow. She's so funny. And yeah, none of that 2%. She's 100%.
I'm telling you, to wake up and see that and just, I'll read without the word. It's just, what was it? A cup every morning, whole, none of that 2% bullshit. And it's a cup of something. And she's responding to Kelly Now Bandham, which I think is what makes it even funnier. Kevin O'Donnell says, Brandon Donlan said he used to drink a gallon of milk a day and found out it was causing his acne.
Whatever happened to Brandon Donlan?
I think what's been fun about the whole milk thing, and I think this is three episodes now we've talked about the milk thing, and Kelly Nalbandian keeps tweeting out it has been zero episodes since David talked about milk, like doing that. I think what's fun about this is one of those silly, goofy things that is being left in the edit that we really don't see left in edits anymore, because Jeff always used to use the excuse in the 20s and 30s of we just don't have enough time, arms folded, miserable, cranky, whatever. But it was always, we just don't have enough time to show these certain things. And I think with the 90 minutes, they've realized, like, as an audience, these are the things that make us attached to the characters. I like David and Joe more now, because for some reason they love a gallon of milk a day. And I think that's funny that that's what they're bonding over. I think that's great. And so I'm happy that these things are making their way back onto TV. I just hope that, like, it gets back to Davey and Carl bonding over liking beer instead of a gallon of milk a day. And I get a gallon of milk is probably healthier than having a couple beers, but, like, I don't know. For me, it's just a gallon of milk a day. I just don't like, to think about
whole milk. It's whole. They're also drinking whole milk.
Yeah.
I'm sorry that I literally just got chills. I got body chills from, I just can't even imagine. Good for them. Good for milk. Maybe they shouldn't invest in a cow. Maybe that'll be better for them. I don't know. But
that was a good tweet yesterday. Not. Somebody said, you know, cows hate to see him coming. And it was just a picture of David. It was good. The internet has been killing it with the milk stuff. So anyway, let's talk about the merch stuff. So back to Blake's grammatically correct sentence that he sent me. Let's have the topic just be putting the mergatory, earn the merge beach, but not merge to bed. Finally, do some pro and cons of it. So everybody, I think, is over mergatory, right? I think that's something as a community, pretty much everybody has jumped on being done with. But I want to have us do a quick round table of devil's advocate. God, I can't speak now. What is the pro to mergatory?
Don't everyone go at once.
Okay, the pro I can think of, because when I was talking about this online, everyone was like, well, they should just delay the merge, right? Which I think that is probably the best thing that they should do. I will say, I like seeing this many people interact. And I think that with the mergatory, because it's an earlier merge, we're getting to see more people interact that we wouldn't get to see interact again, like, you know, in a normal season, probably Charity wouldn't have been able to talk to anybody, or, you know, whoever went to tribal council, whatever else. So seeing all of these people, it's like a crossover episode. I would say that would be a pro of Mergatory. You can, you know, doesn't last long because people get voted out, but you have more people on a beach at once, which means that more people interact, which I think is interesting.
Yeah.
That means there's more shields, where it's like, if Charity and Say would have been the next two votes on their tribes, instead of let's do a double elimination, get rid of both, at least one of them makes it to final 12. And that mm-hmm. double vote next time, where some of you guys could be safe or not, I think that's mm-hmm. maybe a positive. But all of it is like potential stuff. There's no actual like brass tacks positive stuff of what, like, I don't want my audience to be completely confused of like, are you explaining to your 8-year-old person watching with you, or your 58-year-old person watching next to you, of like, so they're not really merge. It says merge beach. They don't have buffs yet. Why do they not have buffs? Like, it's really cool. These 2 days, they don't have buffs, which are the most iconic thing of Survivor besides the snuffer and like Jeff. Like, mm-hmm. it's buffs, snuff, Jeff. Like, that's, and they all have Fs.
Double F.
Oh my gosh.
The only iconic things of Survivor, double F.
That's crazy. But like, it's something where, why do they not have buffs? It doesn't really make sense. What were we fixing in 39 and 40? That's usually what we do whenever there's a new twist of like Mergatory, who went home at 39 and 40, where people could be like, damn, I wish they got one more chance. And then, yeah, the hourglass thing is like, what are we doing? So I don't know. What did they solve with Mergatory? Is like, there's more shields, or there's more interaction between people, but that can happen when you do swaps too.
So just to define Mergatory here, right?
Okay.
Mergatory, we're saying, is when all 13 come together and half of the cast is safe, right? That's what Mergatory is. And this is not Mergatory because only one person is safe and everybody else is eligible to go home. Like, is this still, like, was last night still Mergatory? Because people are like, oh, we're done with Mergatory. It's like, but that was Mergatory, wasn't it?
Merge Purgatory is Mergatory.
Yeah.
So, I think, for all intents and purposes, the Mergatory is done. But I do think that, you know, I do think there is something to say the fact that, like, Charity, when she gets sent her package of things, you know, it's just not going to include a blue buff. You know, I do think that, so to me, even though it is really, for all intents and purposes, a merge, I think technically this would be a Mergatory, because literally just because Charity does not have a blue buff to call her own, and she's the only one that does not have a blue buff. That's hard to say, to call her own. That's the only reason why I would still say it, call it a Mergatory.
I feel like she had like one of the worst experiences a Survivor has had in years on the show. Of,
like, I feel like she was like miserable though. That's the crazy part. She was happy in her final words. Like, I feel like now she's probably having a hard time, but I feel like when it was, before it aired, I don't feel like she knew it was going to come across this bad.
I mean,
but I also think she's like, but here's the thing. Like, I think when I hear Blake say that, I think like she didn't really have a full Survivor experience. And this is one of the reasons why I don't like these smaller tribes, because you have a tribe that inevitably will not go to tribal council. And now, mm-hmm. obviously, there was a swap, right? She was lucky twice, but it's still crazy to go to Mergatory, whatever you want to call it, and have a fully intact tribe. Mm-hmm. Like, she really didn't she didn't experience part of that until she had, like, you know, I feel bad for Chris Noble. First time he goes to tribal council, he gets voted out. Like, I don't know. I feel like there was just like that little bit missing, but I guess that's just what happens when you're the first one voted out of your tribe. So never mind.
I think we also say stuff about like, we don't like when people lose their votes. This is another layer of that, of like, I don't like when people get the false sense of drop your buffs, something big is changing, you're mixing up. And it's like, you're not, you are, you aren't, you're on two teams. You aren't, they're not tribes. We're going to get together and do a 13-person vote. And somebody said, I think this is the first time in the new era all 13 people voted at Final 13. And it's like, oh, okay, didn't harp on that or show, for the first time ever, we're having 13 votes. Because maybe it's not the first 13 ever, but it is something to me of, if we're going to be like, I don't like when people lose their votes, I think we should also be hold that same thought process for when people lose out on there's no real reason for Charity not to have a blue buff, for all of them not to have a blue buff right now, besides Jeff just wants to do something different over the last new era.
Do you know what the first season, and I think I'm right on this, I could be wrong, but do you know what the first season with 13 people at a tribal council was?
The one where Malcolm combines or something?
It was Samoa. It's after Russell Swan gets medevaced, they all go. And there's 13 of them. And then I guess Liz gets voted out next or something like that. I think it's 13 people go.
Who the hell is Liz from Samoa? I got to look that up.
Now, I might be wrong on this, but I think that's the first time. Let me see if I'm right. I'm probably wrong. anyway, I want to jump in and I want to say this. No, I'm right. Yeah, okay. Russell gets medevaced and then 13 people go to tribal council.
Yeah.
And I thought
Russell got second place.
Yeah, he does. Both. But good and evil Russell. But the 13 people go, they don't actually do a vote, and then they go back and they do their thing and, you know, whatever. But I agree with you, Tegwith, that a lot of people together is fun. And so here's what I want to know as a member of the audience, because this is the one I didn't have to say a positive because I opened it up to you guys. So that was good. Smart of me. I want to just say it frustrates me like crazy that this final 13 is not a merge. As an audience, it means nothing to us. As the players, it might mean something. Like you said, now she's not getting her blue buff. That sucks. Everybody else is. They can kind of be like, nana, nana, poo, poo. You don't get it. Sucks to be you. But as an audience member, it means almost nothing to me because I'm watching 13 people on an island where one person is immune and they're all going to vote together. It's a merge. Like, that's what it is. What frustrates me is these last two seasons, they've done it almost like it's normal. And then at final 12, they've merged and now they split into two tribes, also known as a tribe swap. And I think that's what frustrates me. So my question is, if we all enjoy watching larger groups of people play the game together, and that's what we are liking, is all of these different interactions and how can that, you know, whatever, why don't we try a one world type twist? Because what is the difference at the end of the day between 18 people being on the island at one time and 13 people being on the island at one time? And then maybe after 18, maybe 18 starts off, it's two tribes of nine that are on the same beach. One person goes home, maybe do that for 17. And then at 16, you say, everybody's come together. And then at 14, you split into two tribes of seven. Like, why not mix it up and do something like that? Because I do think us older school Survivor fans are the ones who have really watched every season multiple times, more than likely, we enjoy watching large numbers of people play together because it's something you actually didn't really get in the early seasons. For the most part, the most you were getting was 10 until they went to bigger numbers. And even the first couple seasons where there were a lot more members of the jury, such as Cook Islands still merges at 10, I believe, because Rebecca and stuff go home before the merge actually takes place. So I would be more on board with something like that and just kind of do away with this whole like three tribe, which we're tired of, swap once, maybe, at least we've seen it in the last two seasons, merge a Tory, then go back to another swap. Like, just at this point, like, mix it up in a different way, but maybe start them all just in the one world thing. I think that would be fun.
I've said it a thousand times. No. I think one world is a fun twist. Is it my favorite season? No, but I think it's a very fun twist. And I think, and I say, one of the questions a lot of people love to ask me is like, what if I could put myself on any season? What season would I put myself on? And I always say one world, and not even because of the people. I just think that's a fun twist. And I think I would really love to play a one world type show. And I don't know why they haven't done it again. I think that's a great
idea.
Just
walk over to the guys group and go, y'all a bunch of losers.
Yeah, exactly.
Go back.
This is how you're making your shelter? That's crazy.
I mean, think about how bad of a season one world is. It still literally has a tribe win immunity and then decide to go to tribal council because the one world twist made that happen. And so I would be so on board with something like that. And I feel like that would be a different way to mix it up, because when I look at Mergatory, really what it comes down to for me is the pro is more people talking to each other and all of that. I think the new version of Mergatory, what they've gotten to, the pro is only one person is safe rather than all six of them being safe. And I do think a pro in both versions that only half the people are eating the feast. I think that's fun. I think that's a nice way to like you know, middle finger to everybody. We're you guys don't get it. But I also think it's weird that they're calling it the merge meal, but you haven't made the merge.
Right. Okay.
Anyway,
and it's doing the
driving myself nuts with them jumping through hoops to just not call this the merge. But I feel like that is a pro, is that half the people aren't eating, half are. That changes the dynamic for the end game. I think that's fun, but that's really where it ends for me.
And that goes back to the original Fiji season of have versus have not, of giving back to those survivor gods of that. I think one huge con is the merge used to be special. It used to be probably my favorite episode of setting the tone for the rest of the season. And now it feels like a not carnival game. I will not do that to this production, but it does feel like a hold your breath deep. What is about to happen? And they go, it's just going to be a normal vote with 13 people. You're like, okay, cool. Mm-hmm. And this is the first time we've had a normal vote with 13 people. We had some, like, I don't know how Rome went home. I'm blanking on that, but I'm always thinking, like, I don't remember how. And that's literally last season where I'm like, oh my gosh, like these used to be like huge moments happen at the merge of it's a 6-4. Is somebody going to swap? It's going to be 5-on-5, but that person's angry. And some of the best moments, maybe Boston Rob going home at 10 in Marquesas sets everything off for the crazy thing that happens at 9, because we got to start playing crazy. And like maybe those moments, I'm looking back fondly on them because I don't have this negativity of like if mergatory was a better word or a word that made more sense, or like a new twist that had been like talked about of like 5 episodes, Jeff Probst was like, be on your toes because there's a monster out there. And like, we call it Monster Monday or something instead of mergatory. Like, mergatory is one of the worst words that we're making up to like, to basically just be a catch-all for what we're doing instead of having like real words that make sense. And I think that leads to your audience not feeling paid off. Mm-hmm.
Well, there wasn't a word for it. Didn't Tiffany just say it on 41 and Xander said it at like, he retweeted basically what Tiffany had said. It was just like a player said it. Like, and we just were like, okay, there's no name for it. It's in the middle of nothing. So I guess we're going to say what they said.
Pay a Yale grad who knows how to write to come up with a freaking word for your mergatory, please.
I think the problem with it is it's just convoluted. And I think that's what most people are complaining about at this point. And I think like at the end of the day, whether it was a authentic normal merge, like we saw in the first 10 seasons minus Thailand, or it's a crazy mergatory, whatever you want to call it, Charity goes home last night in a 7-5-1 vote. Every single time that's what happens. So as an audience member, again, this is what I keep going back to. Jeff and the players might be like, oh, this earn the merge thing is a big deal. As an audience member, it means nothing to me. Charity going home without a buff in her hand, I'm going to forget that by tomorrow. My dad is going to be watching this, and my mom and dad, I'm going to be like, who went home last year? They're like, I don't remember. Like, nobody cares. And they're like, but it was nice to see them merge. Like, because that is what this means to the audience. And I think trying to kind of deceive your audience doesn't make a lot of sense when the payoff is so small. Maybe you feel like the players are playing, they're going to be more aggressive or it means more to them or whatever. But now that, oh, what a segue by me. Holy crap. But that leads to the Stephen Fishback tweet, which I think was a phenomenal tweet that he put out earlier today, where he said, I mentioned this on Know It Alls, but I also think these mergatory episodes are hurt because contestants are playing tight so that they do get to make the merge slash jury. Historically, people open up at the merge because they've made the next phase of the game. Mergatory erases that. I think that is so succinctly put from Steven, where that's why by Jeff doing this, the players are playing tighter. The audience is getting a really predictable, not satisfying boot every time. And maybe we just say, look, it's the merge. You've already made the jury. Go crazy. Go wild. Instead of, look, let's do the easiest thing so we can just get through this one vote.
Truly.
Yeah, I think Steven said it perfectly. And when he said that, I was like, yeah, that's what I've been feeling. Thank you for putting that into words. Because obviously, yeah, Charity didn't get a buff. That sucks. But also, there are going to be now one other person who's not going to make the jury. I just feel like really all this would be solved. And I say, I like seeing all these people working together. I like seeing so many people on a beach. That's the one pro, but like all of this would be solved if they just swapped onto, even if it was three tribes and just did it a little bit longer, or swapped twice, or swapped into two tribes and stayed there longer. Like that's what you want to do, because you're building around that, and production wants to do that. They're just like, okay, how can we do that but not do that? And I feel like this is what they came up with. And I think you're right, it's convoluted, and Jeff wants families to watch this. Oh my gosh, he brought at the beach drop, there were like family influencers there who probably don't watch Survivor, but who were there so that they could influence families to watch Survivor. If you want kids, I like things that are complicated, right? But if truly Jeff wants kids to like Survivor, he wants families to watch Survivor, are you going to explain to your 9-year-old that actually they're together, but they're not, but they're together, but it's actually not part, you know, it's just like, I don't know. I think that it's a little convoluted. I'm agreeing with you. I'm long-winded and I'm agreeing with you.
Before you jump in, because I know you really didn't watch it like with your family when you're growing up, you always talk about how like your mom was like, you can't watch that. So I just want to say real quick to Tegwit there, I agree with you, because when we would watch it, it would be like, oh good, next week's the merge episode. That'll be fun. Simple, done. Like I'm 10 years old watching the show and it was like, woohoo, merge episode. Great, easy. But go ahead, Blake.
Blake, your mom hates all of the things you like and never really supported you or your TV watching habits. So take a break for another.
She's listening to this for sure, right? She definitely heard that.
Yeah, she definitely always tunes in. One thought process that I think does put a barometer for the new era of when you're watching this as a new era person and you go back and you go, I love Survivor. I'm going to go back and watch those old seasons. And you're watching Kagyan. Are in your mind, do you ever go, why didn't they have a mergatory in this? That would have been so much better.
Such a good point.
And it's clearly not true. But I do think there's times where when you're watching Vanuatu, what if Sarge had an idol? There's all these different permutations of what would have happened. And that is interesting thinking, because idol was a good development for this game to put this into the next layer of gameplay. I don't think mergatory is interesting enough to go back and go, what happens on Pearl Islands if we trick people into thinking it's a merge, but it's really not. We don't give one of them a buff and Savage goes home anyway. It would be like, what the hell was that? And I don't think they'd have a crazy audience from the first 7 seasons of the show. If they started out with mergatory, they'd be like, just call it the merge and let's go.
I think that's so perfectly put, because there are a lot of things like that's why the idol, tag with you were at the event, the premiere event, when Jeff was saying, Mark literally said to us, just put something out there for them to look for. Okay, great. So they put an idol out there, but it was also coming on the heels of a very predictable boot order in Palau. It was a pretty predictable boot order in Vanuatu, because it's a pagonging until there's Chris left and then Chris pagongs the rest of them. Like then it's still just one alliance, the next alliance, and then Chris. And so they clearly wanted something. I think that's a great point of, you can look back and say, what if there was an idol for the guys to find? Would they have been able to flip that? Would they have been able to change that? What if Oolong had an idol? Does Stephanie or Bobby John potentially go further? But nobody cares about the merge story, because at the end of the day, it's really not changing anything for an audience. Everything is the same. What changed things was the hourglass, but that's gone. Thankfully, that's dead and it'll never come back. That is the one thing that really changed things. Splitting them into two groups and then having half of the cast be safe and half not be safe, that really changes things. But if you're going to go the route that you've gone the last 2 seasons, which I think is the best route, where they compete head to head and then one person wins immunity, why not just have it be that they compete head to head? The winning team gets to go eat their food. That winning team also competes in an individual challenge. The winner wins. Everybody else is up to be voted out, and it's a merge. And we just call it a merge. And then if you want it the next week, demerge, tribe swap, then you can do that, because now we've already seen them at least merge. You're telling us it's not a merge. And then next week, when they divide into two tribes, you're telling us that's the merge. It's not true. Stop redefining the English language. That's not true.
Right. Yeah. I will say, I do think one thing I think is a con to the mergatory, which I think you were saying is a pro. I actually like watching everyone's guards drop and see everybody eat together. I actually very much miss the merge feast. And I think that like the one of the reasons why the merge is great, and you were saying this, is like, you know, it's everybody playing kind of together. You're already on the jury. You're ready to go. Like, I'm here. And I think that's one of the reasons why I like the merge feast, because you don't know anybody. And you're sitting there and you are getting to know people, but also everyone's looking for a clue. Everyone's looking, like, people are drunk. Like, it's a lot of chaos. And I really do like seeing everybody forget, quote unquote, forget about the game for an hour and a half, pretend to forget about the game for an hour and a half, rather than seeing one group strategize over here and one group strategize over here, because I think it's a very singular thing that is never replicated. The merge feast, whereas you have groups split up all the time after a merge. You have, you know, a group winning reward, they go, they eat, they, you know, chat, they talk about people who aren't on the reward. But you never get everybody pretending to forget about the game for an hour and a half. And I think that's a very interesting moment. And that is really truly something I miss about the merge.
Can I make a suggestion here based on what you're saying? What if they merge at 13 and they want to do the feast, but they want people to feel a little bitter towards each other based on how it goes? What if they did a Guatemala-esque situation here, where at final 13, they compete in an endurance challenge, and based on your placement, you get less food? So you go to the merge feast, you, for going further, you get more. So like last night, Kyle would have been eating lobster, steak, beer, whatever. And then whoever was out first is sitting there eating like a bowl of rice. And now you still have that interaction, that fun moment, but it's still giving the producers what they want, which is some people to have it and some people not to. So the first six or seven people who are out of that challenge are going to eat essentially nothing, and the rest are going to eat a lot. But at the end of the day, you're all still sitting there talking. And maybe that's where somebody like say were to get no food, and she's sitting there eating a bowl of rice, and she's looking at Kyle eating a steak and a lobster, and she says, I hate this guy. I don't like that he just got to eat in front of me. Even if we're all goombaya over here and we're pretending that this is great, I'm pissed at him because he just got so much food. That could be a different dynamic too, and that could be something fun, and that's not that hard for them to pull off.
I think that'd be great.
I think I was basically straight on it of like, what, we haven't had 13 people do a feast in a long time.
Yeah.
And if we trust our, what is getting better? What is getting worse about Survivor of the Year? And like, I think everyone's very excited about the casting recently. Of the casting has, okay, we got more gamers. We got more whatever. If we have 13 people side by side by side, and Q Burdette goes, I'm ready to vote out at that person, and straight up points at them, knowing full well he's not going home at all. I don't see how that wouldn't be one of the top five moments of the last 5 years. And like, if we're not giving our cast opportunities to play outside of the box, if we are saying, hey, y'all go be contained over there, y'all go be contained over there. And I think it could be as simple as some insider baseball of like, you know what? A 13 person feast is kind of hard to set up for cameras. It's kind of hard to get seven more groups of food. Like, obviously spend the money, pay the people extra overtime. We are trying to have compelling television, not what we've done always and what has always been done. And so that's a thing that's in my head of like 13 people doing a merge. Whenever Gabler says something negative about Ellie and she's 2 feet away from him, she can jab back instead of, wait, what happened? Whenever they're both on separate sides of the island and we squash it, or it comes ahead at tribal, we can do a tribal that's not monitored by Jeff. There is no, hey, try to be more respectful. We could get some more of that. Oh, this is some real raw emotion of my game is crumbling in 7 seconds as I just took a bite of croissant. Somebody said my name and I have a big ass bite in my mouth when somebody goes, Blake's a freaking liar, and I have to finish chewing or just choke and pass out.
And I think like Tegwith right now, for our patrons, we're watching Gabon. And so when we talk about Gabon, that has one of the best. Yeah, you should. Everybody should. I don't know why.
I love Gabon.
Yeah, so do we. But that is one of the best merge feasts, because you have Kenny sitting there knowing he needs that idol or he's going to end up getting voted out of the game. He has that great confessional. Kenny. And everybody else picks it up and then they throw it in the water. I mean, that's drama you can't get in the new era. And yes, The fact that Kenny has never played again. My wife was like, so how many times does he play? And I was like, he never plays again. And she's like, there's no way. Like, she thought he was going to win for most of the season.
And our hot take in our household is that Ace would have been asked back if not for Coach. Even though he was an early boot, but like Coach replaced Ace. But I also kind of like want to see Ace back. Like, he's so weird. And
supposedly he was in the discussion very deep into Heroes versus Villains and got cut like 3 days before Heroes Villains. Yeah.
I didn't know that. Wait, you're right. Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your sooth has said correctly. Yeah.
Is there
Say? What, how are you on Say right now, Tagwith? Are you
team Say? High on Say. I'm team Say. I think, well, I'm team great TV. Here's the thing about me. One thing about me is I do what I want to live on an island with Say. Probably not. I probably wouldn't want that. But would I want to sit on the couch watching other people live on an island with Say? Yes, I would. I'm a huge fan of that. Bring me more Say, always. Mm-hmm. Like her jumping, that moment of you see Charity like walking to that advantage and out of nowhere, Say like jumps in front of her and full sprints ahead and grabs it. Could not have, I had a migraine. I literally had a migraine yesterday. I was at a watch party. And I downed 2 Diet Cokes because they help with my migraines. And that happened. And I screamed and my migraine was gone. It's like, Say cured my migraine. Say that move cured my migraine.
Yep.
And I think that's like a good picture to show your people under, I don't know. You don't have a classroom. I don't have a classroom. But like when somebody wants it more in the NBA, it doesn't make sense. But Say clearly wants to be in the game more than Charity does because she's at full sprint. And Charity's like, what's that over there? And like, we don't know exactly how that happens. And clearly there's a camera underneath it where you're like, when it's time to look for an advantage, I'm wondering if they are looking for a little bottle or they're like, where's a big ass camera at? Like, oh, okay, over there. There's one on the ground. There's a pedestal. Go, 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 go. But she wanted it more.
Say is how I felt about Venus, where it was like, just keep that person in the game because they're not going to, like, Say's not going to win. But Say is entertaining and Say is going to bring us joy no matter how long she's on. Now, maybe she could end up having like Abby Maria downside eventually where you're like, okay, I've had enough. Like that's enough like for one season. But so far I'm in on Say and I feel like Say is super entertaining and will continue to be super entertaining until it's over. So we dissected like the actual like fundamentals of the merge. But Tegwith, I guess the last little topic here, and it can really just be a quick answer if you want, but are you buying the Braun Alliance as the dominant alliance in this post-merge? Don't roll your eyes at that. This is the best thing we could ask for.
Okay. So the reason I'm rolling my eyes is this is kind of a side thing. I got, if I heard the one more time, the word honest, integrity, or loyal, I was going to freak out. I was sick of it. I was like, okay, I get what you're trying to say. It's not possible on Survivor. You guys just lied to Star for like the full half of the thing. You have to lie to somebody. You're going to be loyal to somebody.
I promise. She was just not in our alliance. And we had,
it's just one of those things that really bugged me. I also just side note, did not like it when David was like, finally, we'll get somebody who deserves to win this season.
David
Calm down. I made a whole,
just to throw this out there. So everybody understands, David has only watched the new era. And clearly wants people who are as muscular as David to win, which has not happened in the new era. So, yes, I could see where David's lack of thinking of deserving is coming from right now.
I also don't think part of me feels like he hasn't even seen a full season. Like, I have no evidence of that. But
he's just
why would he need to? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How but could he? He's been drinking milk the whole morning.
He's been too busy with all of the milk. I feel like, you know, that alliance is very interesting, especially because I do think that there's something there. And I do think that they are going to try to really, really, really try to work together. I think, you know, Joe and Eva are obviously a duo. I think that, you know, David and Eva really bonded. And I kind of felt like this was coming, but I'm really excited to see how Camilla is going to throw a wrench in their plans, because the most exciting thing I think this episode had for me was the fact that Kyle was included in all of this. And he's like, yeah, I never won as Camilla. Like, you know, they want to play an old loyal, honest game. But I'm playing a loyal, honest game to that girl over there. And we'll see how this all plays out. And I'm very excited to see where that goes, because I feel like, you know, this group are they're going to make moves, right? They're going to sit together. I think they're really going to try to work together, but Camilla is going to be a wrench in their plans, and I'm so excited for it.
Yeah, I agree. I think that Camilla not being a part of that, but Kyle's going to tell her everything. So it's going to be, hey, Camilla, like Joe, Shaheen, Eva, David, they're all together. I'm with them. They need a sixth. They're not looking at you as the sixth, but you are the sixth. And now as we start to get down to it, can Camilla and Kyle make the moves? I ultimately could see this being, though, like a David, Shaheen, Eva, and Joe final four. And because at that point, it's like, where do Kyle and Camilla go to get their numbers to overthrow anybody from that group of four? I don't think you can do it with Say. Maybe you can do it with Star, but Star feels pretty good about Eva now too. Cedric just got picked up by Star, so I doubt he's going against her. Mitch is pissed at everybody. So I don't really know how that Camilla and Kyle will ultimately be able to overthrow them, even if Camilla is the wrench in that plan.
I think that makes sense. I think there's something there, but I think when you're saying that, I'm thinking like the next vote. I think that Camilla's going to be in the wrench in their plans down the line. Yeah. I don't think anything is going to happen. Like, I think that you're right. They're very ingrained. And what I was thinking was like, you know, all of these connections are all brought back to Joe, Shaheen, and Kyle. And, you know, it's, they're all kind of, they're so centralized and really protected. But I think once the outer skirts start chipping away, I think you can absolutely, Say wants chaos. Say wants to have fun. Say wants to make things happen. And I really think that Camilla, Say, Mary even could do something to work against the like meat tray of these strong guys.
Charcuterie board could be their nickname.
The charcuterie board. Yes. I'm thinking there's an Australian alliance where they were an Australian survivor, I think like three seasons ago, where it was just the meat. I think they called it the meat tray or the meat board or something.
I'm getting there.
Because it was a bunch of big guys.
That's so funny. I'm almost to that season, I think. I just finished Brains vs. Braun 1, so it's right after, I think. Here we go. Another one. Thank you. Thank you, Blake.
This is the winners. The winners got own specific milk things. So that's
David's
got
to get a sponsorship with milk after this, right? Seriously. Like, Trumu followed him on Instagram.
True.
Yeah.
How do you
So
know?
He has to get a sponsorship in some way. Dude, what are we doing? What it's these Tina ones are disturbing. It doesn't even look like her.
It doesn't look like her.
On rice, water, and whatever you could catch. Enjoying milk's 9 essential nutrients is quite a luxury.
Damn.
We're sponsored by milk here.
It's funny that in the picture up above, they don't have Keith and Colby's head still in the sand.
That would be so funny.
And it's very clear that they only took headshots for all three of these people. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's the same headshot of Tina where she was in the other one. So, okay, so then we're still final 12, but Tegwith, who do you think is actually going to win?
Well, Shaheen was my preseason winner pick, and I felt pretty good about that until this episode, honestly, just because he didn't get a lot of content. And I think that he's going to go far, but I don't know that I think that he's going to win. I have been saying since episode 2, I think Joe's winning. I think that he is, you know, there's just something about the way they're telling Joe's story that makes me feel like he's going to pull out the W. You know, do I love that? No. Do I hate it? No. But that's kind of
You're
why
rooting
I'm
against
right
Joe?
Now. I'm not rooting what against hell? Him. I just
hope the guy who's so lovable meets an ultimate demise and comes back again so I can root against him next time too.
No, I love Joe. I love him. I just, you know, I wanted four women to win in a row, and then I ended up choosing Shaheen as my winner pick, and I was like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Winner this season,
no,
Tegwith,
no, we're not.
It's not happening this season. It's
Camilla could win.
Camilla could, but Camilla still has to overcome now all of those big guys and sit in the final three. And even if she does, I still think the jury would have enough people over there who are like, I'm just going to vote for the big guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say I'm more confident about who I think is going to be the zero vote finalist or at least third place. And I think that's David. I'm very confident that David is coming in third.
W.
Really?
Oh, I'm so sold. They have given this man so much content. He went to one tribal council and it was last night, and he wasn't even an integral part of it. I feel like he has gotten so, think about Ben's edit and how all over the place that was. And then who was it last season? It was Sam, Rachel, and Sue. Sue's edit was all over the place. David's has been consistent. Like, it has been so consistent. Who do you know the most about personally right now, Tagwith? It's Tim.
I think I know where more he about lives. Joe.
You know,
do you?
That is true. I do know where he lives. I feel like I know a lot about Joe. We learned about his parents. We learned about his sister. We learned about.
Has he mentioned the sister on the show, though? I don't think he has.
Sister's all.
Oh, maybe he hasn't. He's wearing the bracelet, so maybe he hasn't said anything. I thought they did in the first episode. I thought he said something in the first episode, but I could be wrong.
I think maybe we just knew as an audience the emotion of him crying in that first episode. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, St. Cliff was the specialist at home designated, and he said, we haven't heard sister at all.
Yeah.
Okay. So maybe we know a lot about David, but we don't know anything about his, like, we haven't seen, have we seen any photos of David? Like, any flashback photos? Like, we've seen photos of Joe's family.
That's true. That's true. Maybe David's is coming. Maybe we're going to get it soon.
Maybe Joe's is coming. Joe is getting, I just think that David is getting a little bit more of a, you know, what is this guy doing kind of an edit.
Yeah.
Or maybe that's just how I'm reading into it.
Yeah. Wishful thinking. Rome the host, this will be your last question. What does Tegwith define a game bot as? This is the real this is the real Rome. So, you know, answer wisely.
Wow. I don't know. I don't think I have a definition for like a game bot. When I hear game bot, I think of somebody who's uninteresting. Because I lean more towards the like robot of the game bot. I think that there are people who are considered game bots that are really, I think, fun to watch. And I think game bot kind of has a negative connotation. So I don't typically use the word game bot. But I guess if I'm thinking about the word game bot, I'm thinking of just somebody who really likes the show and is trying to play 4D chess or 5D chess with the show and might get caught up in that. So that's kind of how I feel it. But it's just also not a term that I use all the time because I think it's just a little bit of a negative connotation. And I think that there are people who would be considered game bots that I think are good TV. So
as a big movie fan and somebody who tends to, watch, like I watch like all the Oscar nominations and stuff. Don't worry, Blake, we'll get to this. I think game bot has like the same negative connotation.
Oscar bait.
Love yeah, it. Where yeah. It's like Oscar great. Bait, like it's like just because a movie is good or long or a period piece doesn't mean it's Oscar bait. Like it can still be a good movie and also get nominated for Oscars. And I feel like so often we hear Oscar bait, Oscar bait, Oscar bait. I'm trying to just look at Tegwith and Blake here and not stare at the middle of my
screen. You're turning bright red, bro.
Yeah, dude. No, I'm telling you, this is how the editors.
This is American Psycho Survivor edition.
I'm telling you. So I think that for me,
I'll get him out of there.
That's really what it comes down to, where it's like GameBot doesn't have to be a bad thing. It just has become a bad thing. But whatever Blake just had on the screen is not a GameBot. Blake, go ahead, throw it back up for Tegwith one more time. She's about to get so angry. Yeah.
Thank you. No, I.
Now we got two of
no,
them.
Oh my God. I like David. I really just feel like I like David. I still like David. I just didn't like his comment of the like winner, finally a deserving winner. Like that. Made me sad.
Get out of here with that. That's the milk Blake found in the story.
Maple waffle flavored milk.
Just go eat an Eggo.
Yeah, I think what we're trying to show to our people that are here live with us is we figured out how to show pictures, and this is about to start being a multimedia type podcast.
So you gotta tune into YouTube now.
Buckle up. You have no idea what's coming.
Who are we getting flexing like David next? Who's it gonna be?
Camilla, obviously.
We're gonna get Camilla in that challenge. Camilla is gonna be the one who beats David.
Can I say?
Scoose May comes back and beats him.
I want that edit of Mary going under that thing in the mud.
That has been gift or gift, whatever you want to say. It's out there. It's good. That's wild. She was so fast.
That might be my favorite moment of the episode, honestly.
Yeah, she was incredible. So fast in that. That was crazy.
It was like a ballerina. That moment was like watching a ballerina.
Star picked Cedric up from the depths of hell and brought him to Valhalla and said, witness me, brother. We're going. Witness me. I just watched Mad Max Fury Road last Saturday in theaters. I think maybe it's a 10-year anniversary. Maybe not. get to your theaters, you guys, and watch some movies that inspire you, because sometimes on Survivor they can only do Murgatory and you got to fill in the gaps. So Survivor can't inspire you all the time.
Yeah.
No.
All right. Anyway. All right. That's it.
And that's Blake. Murgatory.
Yeah. I'm Blake's positive note there. I got to go. All right. We're out of here. Tagwith, thank you so much for joining us. What do you got going on right now that you want people to see? I know you're always posting on Instagram and TikTok, but what's up?
I'm always on the gram. I'm always on the tickety talk. If TikTok goes away on Saturday, I'll still be on the gram. Nothing really. I am doing a podcast with Annika this Sunday, pardon me. So that should be fun. But even before that, I'm going to start doing a fun thing on my TikTok. Again, hopefully it doesn't go away, where I'm planning on going live with different Survivor players, just literally on my TikTok, maybe on their TikTok, and just having a conversation and see where it takes us, maybe talking about Survivor, maybe talking about their season, maybe talking about the season we're watching, maybe just talking about life. So if that's something that interests you at all, just check out my TikTok and Instagram. I'll be posting updates there. But other than that, I'm just like enjoying the season, enjoying thinking about all the fun things. And yeah, that's it.
And yeah, if TikTok goes away, it'll be back in 2 days anyway. So you'll be good.
Exactly. 7 hours. It was 6 hours or like 10 hours last time. It'll be 11 hours this time. They'll really keep us on our toes.
There you go. Hopefully we can all make it. Hopefully it's while we're all sleeping and then we're all good.
Yeah, again. Yeah.
But everybody, thank you so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed this episode. Give us a like, give us a follow or whatever. Subscribe. Patreon.com/thespecialist. As I've talked about, we're going through Gabon and then we're doing Token Chains. Next. I'm going to be live on Saturday at noon with Gabe from season 47. That's Predictions of Power Rankings this week. And then next Wednesday, Will should be back for that recap episode, I believe. But then Tegwith and I will be in the same place. We can officially say we're not the same person because we're going to be in the same place, same time, 2 Wednesdays from now. So
does this not count?
No, this doesn't count. You can AI anything these days. Oh, I'm just talking to myself. Has Tegwith said anything not intelligent yet? No, it's just me talking. Come on, this is like.
I feel like AI can't replicate me, and I got to keep doing the weird shit just so I have a job, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Posting pictures of milk and waffles.
There he is. One more time.
AI could never replicate that comedic timing.
Oh my God. Anyway. Thank you all so much for listening. We'll see you Saturday and goodbye.
See ya.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. WATER to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.